You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Great to be back. Few days off. I got a puppy. I have to remind the Danettes because the novelty is already worn off. I brought the puppy in because I can't leave her at home. And so I have to bring her in. So she's over by Tyler. Tyler is running the soundboard here, and Tyler, the puppy sitter. So she's in the little travel cage there, whatever it's called, carrier. Brought in some treats there as well. She's 2 months old, and she's a rescue. Got her from the same place we got Penny. And that was part of the reason why, once I realized how great Penny is, the house dog that we have, and my wife reached out to the East Coast Canine Rescue people. They found the litter in a garbage dump. Like, it was in a, you know, they just found the litter, couldn't find the mother, and brought in these puppies. And so went down to New Jersey, picked up Winnie, and brought Winnie back. And so we've been together, and we'll be together forever. Yes, Pony.
Good-looking little hound, kind of like a cuddly fur, very nice fur.
Don't know what kind of dog it is, because everybody says, well, what is it? I go, I have no idea. She's just my new best friend. Yes, McLove.
Do you know how big it'll get?
They said 40 to 60 pounds, and I said, well, is it 40 or is it 60? like, if, you know, if you said, hey, you're going to gain some weight, how much? You're going to gain somewhere between 1 and 20 pounds. Well, that's a lot. So somewhere between 40 and 60 pounds. Yes, Eden.
People are saying that I got a puppy is reminding them of a moment from the show, a throwback moment from the show.
Yep.
I brought kittens. Kittens.
That was Shy McBride doing Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken going to a dinner party, and he had a trench coat, and he brought kittens to a dinner party to hand out, I guess. Kittens.
Hi, how are you? I'm Chris. Chris.
I brought kittens. Kittens. All right, we'll get some more phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We'll dive into this creation of a European Super League in soccer, because it could be a forerunner, a precursor for college football. I truly believe it. I've been saying it for years. Now, if you have somebody who supplies the blueprint, then I could see where college football is going to go. Why do we need Vanderbilt or Boston College or whoever it might, Wake Forest? Why don't we just get rid of all of these sort of ancillary teams and have the great football powers? And instead of having 60, you break it down and you have 15. And how many are in the mix for a national title every year? 8, 10, 12? Now you control all the money. Ding, 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 ding. That'll attract and get everybody's attention here. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Yes, Todd?
Imagine if you did that in some of the other sports. I know we've talked about, imagine having relegation in like baseball or basketball or hockey or something like that. Wouldn't that be like insane if there's a perennial loser like the Orioles in recent years and you just kind of forget about them? They become this ancillary team that no one cares about. And just the Yankees, Dodgers, and a handful of others will play against each other to find out who's really the best team.
Yes, Eden.
Yeah, but what do you mean becomes a team nobody cares about? No offense to them, but like there are teams in all of these sports that nobody cares about.
Yeah. But we care because they might play in the Big Ten. Now, it does rule out that surprise team, the team like Indiana football came out of nowhere and was a really good story. That would be my big, let's just dive into it right now, okay? So what is happening? According to the New York Times, at least 12 of Europe's most prestigious soccer clubs have agreed to form a breakaway league that would, quote, upend the structures, economics, and relationships that have bound global soccer for nearly a century. Basically, it's England, Spain, Italy create their own competition. They sell the TV rights, billions of dollars, and each team reportedly would make $400 million. This is their way of creating a playoff system. You know, we have the Power Five conferences right now. And I've said eventually the Power Five breaks off. And, you know, why do you need some of these other schools? But if I just take the top of the Power Five, that's what you have, what's going on in European soccer. You have a super conference or super conferences. And if you take the biggest names in college football, let's say you took Alabama, you took Notre Dame, Ohio State, USC, like just run down the list. Now you're going to have a cutoff here. Clemson's going to be in there. But where we are with college athletics, certainly who has the power in college athletics right now? The conferences have the power, not the NCAA. You could have a similar blueprint here with college football. And I don't know how long it would take to put into play, but Andrew Brandt, who I have great respect for, said, sometimes decades happen in hours. In other words, this could happen because Europe is showing the way. The largest clubs announcing the formation of a super league. Now, UEFA threatens to ban participating clubs and players from domestic and international football. Yes, Eaton.
There have been people, too, for years who have been saying that eventually you're going to see one European league because the cost of sustaining all the domestic leagues, like Italy's own league, Spain's own league, is too much. And the cost of managing a modern soccer team is outpacing what UEFA and how they distribute money to all of these teams. So there has been sort of warning signs, I think.
Yeah.
But it did seem like it was just sort of out of nowhere. Like, whoa, what do you mean?
And this has been proposed. Like, imagine Alabama playing a mostly SEC schedule, but instead of playing Mercer or Southern Miss in a non-conference game, they got Notre Dame and they got Michigan. You're not sharing any revenue with Vanderbilt or Wake Forest. Yes, Eden.
And I would imagine that sort of the domestic soccer leagues, they resemble, or like the conferences here, say for football, they're under tremendous financial pressure, right? Where there's only a couple that are making most of the money and everybody else survives off of that. The money gets difficult to manage.
And if you have these teams, you know, Alabama's going to a national title game, then the money they make trickles down into the SEC. Now you get to keep it. Clemson, same thing. Notre Dame gets to keep it because they're an independent. Yes, Eden.
But see, the problem for the team standpoint, or the fan standpoint, rather, and players, is that soccer was always the people's sport, and if you're good enough, you can play. And that's why, you know, promotion and relegation seems so crazy to us, but it's just, you know, you can be a small team, and if you're good enough over years, you can play up to this level of the big clubs. Right. Whereas this just completely removes that.
Yes.
It's just the big guys and forget it. Nobody else can play their way in because it's just us, which sort of takes away the whole spirit of the sport.
Yeah, that's the one thing that concerns me. And I don't know if somebody has an answer for that, because you're going to put Michigan in there, but Michigan doesn't deserve to be in there. They haven't done anything, but they are a brand and you're going to put them in there. At what point do you become a great story that you can crack this glass ceiling that allows you to be one of the top 20 football programs in America where you're in this super conference? Yeah, McLovin.
I saw an interesting point by the college football writer Stuart Mandel that Ohio State gets a lot out of being in the Big Ten. Academics, the 30 other sports they get to compete in, geography, whereas in soccer, none of that exists. It's all money. Like, there's no academic reason. So maybe college football has a slightly different dynamic than the soccer thing. So it won't, you know, they're going to see the Super League in soccer. Ohio State still gets a lot out of being in the same conference.
Well, no,
as
they'd
Purdue.
Still be in the Big Ten.
Oh, well, in the Super League, though, explain this to me. In the Super League, they're leaving their current setups and only going to be in the Super League, right?
They're going to be in two leagues simultaneously. So, like, you know, the European teams are in the Premier League. Manchester United, you know, they're still going to be in the Premier League, the Premiership. And then you're going to have this Super League. Yes, Eden.
Except
uh-oh.
That I think the, say, like, Premier League or in UEFA and those FIFA, the governing bodies, as you say, they are saying, if you go to the Super League, we don't want you to play in Premier League.
That's what UEFA is saying.
Right, yeah. Right. So they're sort of like punishing them by saying, if you go and form this thing, then you can't play in that one. And that's where a lot of the conflict is coming from.
Yeah, Paul.
And to kind of compare it to here, it'd be like the NCAA. The NCAA is the governing body of college football. And let's say that 12 teams decided to leave the NCAA and go rogue. The NCAA is like, oh, there goes all our money. we're going to be running this league without these big guys. Imagine the NCAA football if they didn't have Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, and USC anymore,
yeah.
The feature teams. So UEFA is trying to threaten, strong-arm them into pumping the brakes on this, but it seems too far down the road now.
It feels like they're saying that, but then they might have to backtrack on that because you don't want to lose those teams. That all
it's a messy situation.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Tyler?
Yes, Tom.
Wouldn't the average fan then only care about the Super League? Kind of like comparing the March Madness to the NIT. If you're having a group of all the best teams, that's kind of like, to me, that would be like the Super Bowl. And then anything else would be like the Canadian Football League Grey Cup Bowl or the NIT or something like, oh, those are the lesser teams. I'm only going to be all in on seeing what happens with the best teams and forget about everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility. Something eventually happens with college football. And it's, you know, you have a lot of teams, a lot of schools that are, you know, Division I AA. They just don't know it. And then you have these teams that are super teams. And at some point, they're going to say, wait, we're generating all the revenue. We're the ones playing for national championships. We're the ones that are supplying all this money for our respective conferences. Now, I hate to see that go away because with that, you might have some of these schools that are going to lose a lot of these secondary sports. That would be, I mean, I have concerns about it, but I do think that you're going to see something happen here relatively soon. Now, that might be 3 years, 5 years down the road. I just think there's so much money at stake. And it goes back to that. It's just like gambling. Remember these leagues? Oh, we don't even acknowledge the spreads. Like 10 years ago, like even talking on the radio about it. We don't want to go down that road. Now what happens? Everybody found out how they can make their money. That was it. That was all it was. Once we figure out how much we get, that was all they're waiting for. And even now they're still not sure. Because you're going to have betting parlors at a stadium. Because they want you still going to the stadium. They don't want you to go, I'm not going to go to the game. I'm just going to sit at home and I can bet on everything. They want you at the stadium. They've embraced it. There's no turning back now. Yeah, Paul.
The one thing where, if you compare college football and what's going on with the Super League and UEFA and all that, the NCAA and college football, they may not want to change and go that direction because once they blow it up and change, then they may have to start paying players. If they could somehow keep this current system in place where it appears to be an amateur sport, they don't have to pay anybody. You watch. I guarantee you when we're doing this show in 3 years from now, they're still not paying college football players. Not out of their pocket. You may give them the rights fees, you know, their rights allowances.
Yeah.
But Mark Emmert's sole job is to prevent colleges from ever having to open their wallets to players, to athletes.
Yeah,
that's the biggest part of his job. Everything else, I could schedule games. You know, he takes the heat for never paying the players, and he'll do that. 2025, we'll be sitting here talking about that.
All right, we'll get to phone calls here coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. Go around the infield on what we saw that we liked, we didn't like. Todd, I'll start with you, best and worst.
My best of the weekend on Saturday, the Arizona Coyotes inducted 9-year-old Leighton Accardo into their Ring of Honor. She passed away from cancer last November. She was a youth hockey player, big fan and inspiration to the team, and I thought that was just awesome that they made her a member of the Ring of Honor. Worst of the weekend is going to have to go to the Mavs defense. Friday night, what Julius Randle did to them. 44 points, 10 boards, 7 assists, added a steal and a block, Randle becoming the first Knicks player since Bernard King in March of 84. To get at least 40, 10, and 5 in a game.
I thought that I was seeing something. I was on the wrong channel yesterday. The Knicks were on a nationally televised game against the Pelicans. Network TV. And I thought, oh my God, wait, is this MSG? Like, what channel? Is this the 80s? Oh, the Pelicans weren't around. And I'm going, oh, the Knicks against Zion? And it was an interesting game. It was fun. What I found interesting, though, was after the game, Zion Williamson, the smile on his face when he was asked about playing in New York was indescribable. I've had a decent Christmas or two when I was growing up. I was never this happy on Christmas. Never. Here's Zion Williamson.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, It's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you. I can't lie to you.
I wonder if somebody was planted, the question was planted to ask Zion, because he does say, I'm glad you asked me that question. Leave it to the Knicks. They'll get, you know, fined for tampering with Zion.
James Dolan, New York Daily News. Got a quick question, Zion.
Wait, aren't you the owner?
No. Just the question.
He was excited.
Can they sign him now? Can they sign it and then...
They've been one of the bigger disappointments this year. You know, you bring in Stan Van Gundy to have your team play defense. They don't play defense. In fact, Lonzo Ball leaves his man... And his man hits the game-winning shot. And Doris Burke rightfully criticized Lonzo Ball. It's like, why are you leaving your guy? They need a three, not a two. They haven't played, and they have talent there, but they're not any good. Yeah, McLovin.
I don't think they love sharing the ball. I don't think everyone loves sharing the ball there.
Well, that
specifically
could be
one person. I think Brandon Ingram grimaces every time Zion takes to the hole. He's like, I should be shooting. And they're both amazing. Why aren't they better?
Yeah, Paul.
That team has no awareness. When the Knicks had the last shot to tie it up, Eric Bledsoe starts jogging off the court. He thinks they've lost. And someone goes, hey, man. And he points and he comes back. He's, oh, we're still playing. You look at a video, Eric Bledsoe thinks the game's over.
Yeah, but Lonzo leaves his man who's driving down the lane. He doesn't factor. You're up three. He drives down the lane. Let him have a layup. He leaves. Who is that? Reggie Bullock?
Yeah.
And that's their best outside shooter. You leave him. It was just stupid. Yeah, McClellan.
What has gotten into Julius Randle? You said early in the season, like, watch out for Julius Randle. He's like crossing over guys 30 feet from the basket and hitting jumpers.
You know what? He now knows that it's his team. And he has listened to what Kobe Bryant told him. When you go to another city, the first thing you do when you get there, no matter what time you get there, 2 a.m, whatever time, go work out. And Julius Randle has made himself a better player, made himself an all-star, made himself a formidable player. And people thought I was crazy when I said, hey, if Zion can be as good as Julius Randle in the NBA, you're going to have a success story. Because I thought the expectation level for Zion was way too big, way too high. Now, he might blow that out of the water. But I said, if he can be like Julius Randle, look at Julius Randle's numbers and put him up with Zion Williamson. Now, is Zion more dynamic? Is he going to sell more tickets? People are going to... Yes, absolutely. Not denying that. I just think people... underrated what Julius Randle, he got out of L.A. And when he got to L.A., he barely played. But he did have talent. And then now he knows it's his team. And he's able to go out there and you don't have to worry and look over your shoulder all the time. He goes, and they're a good team, believe it or not. We'll come back. I'll get to front rows. Best and worst of the weekend. And yours too, McLovin.
Yeah, I have one that's going to be very important to you. It's about love. And love that is faded.
Wait, but it's not about the puppy that I got because I love my puppy.
It's about one of your favorite celebrity couples finally calling it a day.
Oh. Hey, Rodsky. 20 after the hour. What?
Hey, Rodsky.
Hey, Rodsky. J-Lo-ski. Hey, Rodsky. Gonski. 20 after the hour. We'll take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing. In fact, it's so amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. I used it during my week off. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Time to get back on track. Kentucky Derby, first Saturday in May, 147th run for the Roses, Saturday, May 1st. On NBC, we were talking about the NFL draft. We've been talking about, well, a variety of things leading up to the NFL draft, including drafting a tight end, because Kyle Pitts out of Florida is probably going to be, he'll be a top 10 pick, maybe even top five. Here are some of the star tight ends where they were drafted. Travis Kelce, third round. George Kittle, fifth round. Darren Waller, sixth round. Mark Andrews, third round. First rounders since 2008 at tight end. Dustin Keller, Brandon Pettigrew, Jermaine Gresham, Tyler Eifert, Eric Ebron, O.J. Howard, Evan Ingram, David Njoku, Hayden Hurst, T.J. Hockenson, and Noah Fant. Not a great rundown there. You know, no great players there. A couple of good players there. But Kyle Pitts, can Atlanta afford to pass up on Kyle Pitts, tight end? Or do they take a quarterback? Do they try to trade down? What do the Bengals do? If I'm the Bengals, I take an offensive lineman. Because the Super Bowl reminded me, no matter how good my quarterback is, if he doesn't have time to throw, he's not a great quarterback, at least in that moment. Yeah, McLovin.
Is it possible someone still trades up to four to take a with Atlanta to take a quarterback? So it could be four quarterbacks, even if it's not Atlanta?
Sure. Because you have Trey Lance's second pro day today. If Atlanta can get – Atlanta won't get Kyle Pitts, but they could get a wide – Atlanta wants to get a playmaker out of this. You can't get a great defensive player. But can you trade down and still get somebody? If Denver wants to move up. I don't know if the Patriots – I saw where, you know, some people – there's so much speculation out there, but there's so much misinformation. And it's not that, you know, the reporters aren't doing their job. It's just who their sources are may not have all that information. Yeah, I saw this with Mike Lombardi, and he says he's not buying the Justin Fields to San Francisco speculation. He says, can I tell you the news that I've heard? Justin Fields is not going to number three, going to go number three. That's what I've heard. And then Lombardi wanted to know where a writer was getting his information. You got better sources than me? Good luck. Good luck. I'm just telling you. If it's not Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance. So take that how you want it. Do with that what you will. Well, that goes back to what I told you a month ago. You know, my source said they're going to take Mac Jones, but there was at least one person in their war room who liked Trey Lance and was trying to at least convince or, you know, talk Kyle Shanahan into exploring this. Well, they're going to Trey Lance's second pro day today, but I don't know about Justin Fields. But Trey Lance was the name that was brought up to me a month ago. So nothing's changed on my end from what my source told me about what the Niners are going to do. Only to say it's hard to believe the Niners would give up all of that to take Mac Jones. That was it. And the description I was told was Kyle Shanahan values accuracy more than athleticism. If he can make Matt Schaub a good quarterback, Kirk Cousins, what can he do with Mac Jones, who's coming in with, you know, more skills? But you had to trade up to get him. And I do believe that Kyle Shanahan feels like he's the quarterback of the team. And I don't know this. This is just an observation. I don't know Kyle Shanahan. I know his dad. I do not know Kyle. I think Kyle feels like my system, as smart as I am offensively, if you run it correctly, you will be great. He will make you great because it's his system. If Mac Jones is that guy, I mean, Mac Jones completed what, 76% of his passes? Now, he didn't get rushed. He had first-round draft picks at virtually every position. So I don't know. I don't have an opinion on Mac Jones. I will say when I watched Alabama play, I sort of got around to Mac Jones going, oh, wow, he's like 13 of 15 for three touchdowns. But I just thought, well, you know, and Mac Jones came on our show. And I said, how many touchdowns do you think I could complete? How many could I throw for in Alabama's offense? And I think he said he acknowledged I could probably throw for 10. He's underrating me. Wait till he sees my pro day. Yes, McLovin.
I find it kind of funny that quarterbacks are associated with quarterbacks who went to their college before. Like Justin Fields, everyone worries, oh, is he Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah.
Is Mac Jones going to struggle like Tua? And I've even heard, is Trey Lance going to be like Carson Wentz? I don't even know what that means because they both went to North Dakota State.
Well, they're... Unless you say that the system that they're in ask you to do the same thing. Like Kyle Bowler and Aaron Rodgers. They both went to Cal. But people, I think, if you go back to Aaron Rodgers' draft profile, I think they brought up Kyle Bowler, who was taken, what, eighth overall by the Ravens? Something like that? But it was like, oh, he's in a Jeff Tedford system. Yeah, McLeod.
Do you remember Kyle Bowler threw 50 yards from his knees?
Yes.
And we were all excited about him?
And I went, what did he hit the receiver? And when will you use that in the game? Because when your knees are down, hey, you're down. But I can throw it 50 yards on my knees. Yeah, it doesn't matter, kid. Get back up. All right, best and worst of the weekend, McLeod.
Okay, I have a few, actually. Okay. I'm sorry. A couple movies. I finally watched Soul, which had been highly recommended, and it was awesome. The Disney movie about I can't give away, a jazz musician who goes to limbo. It's up for a lot of Oscars. And I watched Wonder Woman 1984, which is the exact opposite. I heard it was terrible. And oh my God, is this movie a mess? Like, there are going to be documentaries about what went wrong with this movie. I don't know if any superhero fans can.
Is this Gal Gadot?
She was wonderful. It's got this great cast. It's amazing. And the story is so all over the place.
Yeah, it didn't get good reviews.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's like you could see what they were going for, but just didn't get there.
Mm.
It was like it has all of these elements of like, man, this movie should be awesome. Why is it so terrible?
And the other one is Soul.
Yeah, Soul. So it's an animated movie from Disney. It's like a kind of like a meaning of life thing. I think everybody here would like it. It's really good. It's one of those ones where, like, everyone says it's good, so you don't want to get it. Also saw A Portrait of a Young Woman, and this is my other worst. And our friend Christopher Mintz Plotts is amazing, and he has a little cameo, and he's very funny. He played McLovin in Superbad. But once again, asked about whether he knows about McLovin on the Dan Patrick Show, on the Rich Eisen Show, and said he had no idea who I was because he doesn't listen to the Dan Patrick Show.
Christopher Mintz Plotts is a phony. He is.
Right.
Paulie, check your records.
I think he's appeared on the show twice. Really, like 10 years ago, and then again about 7 years ago, Christopher Mintz Plasse from Superbad.
He may not listen to the show. That's probably had an impact on his acting career because he's disappeared. And the other part of that is he's been on the show and he does know what this show is all about. Yes.
It does seem unlikely that he's never heard of that radio show that has the other guy McLovin on it.
Yeah,
it seems unlikely.
Yeah, that's fraudulent.
I think he wants to distance himself from the role of McLovin because he was a teenager then, and now he wants to be in more adult roles.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
He's good. Portrait of a Young Woman, he's pretty good.
I'll be the judge of that.
McLovin, one name. Who do you think, your seal?
A line.
Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
My best from this past weekend is Dodgers-Padres. Feels like that's exactly the storyline baseball needs right now, is two teams that don't like each other, and you can set on your calendar, got to watch each one of these.
Yep.
Perfect timing for that. And my best from the last weekend that we missed was probably one of the more entertaining Masters I've ever watched, just based on the sub-storyline of Victor Hovland versus Xander Schauffele and the trade.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. And then Xander Schauffele put it in the water on 16.
What did he do wrong there? I was watching intently. It went bad.
Yeah. Well, he said he flushed it. And I'm like, well, you flushed it down the water. down the toilet is what you did. Usually when somebody says, oh, I flushed that one, you hit it perfect, and he didn't. Paulie, best and worst.
The 1AA FCS selection show yesterday, Dan. Spring college football is the best. I wish we could keep this every year. So starting this upcoming weekend, the 1AA FCS playoffs. South Dakota State is a 1 seed, Dan. I know you like them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple teams. My Salukis are in it. My Sacred Heart Pioneers are in it. North Dakota State, of course. Sam Houston, a lot of teams are in it. The other thing, last few days ago, I was in Kiowa Island, and I got to check out the, I didn't go on it, of course, the Ocean Course, where they're having the 2021 PGA.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. I've seen a lot of golf courses, but it felt like a Lynx course in Europe. It was the deep sand traps, no trees.
Wind.
Like, wind. But the Ocean Course down in Kiowa Island was quite striking.
Yeah, beautiful down there. Got a chance to play that many, many years ago. But, yeah, Kia was beautiful. One of the things that we missed last week, the retirement of Julian Edelman. And it should be an occasion to celebrate his career, but, of course, that's not what we do. You know, Twitter immediately started talking about, is he a Hall of Famer? No, he's not a Hall of Famer. This is why he's not a Hall of Famer. And it's an interesting discussion. And as I've said before with Julian Edelman, he's not a Hall of Famer. He's just a legend. That's all. Hall of Famer, not a legend. And there's so many positives out of this story. He's a former quarterback out of Kent State. Seventh round pick. Learned to play wide receiver. And all-time postseason receptions, he trails only Jerry Rice. Now, if you follow the arguments last week, you probably heard that Edelman never made a Pro Bowl. Okay. There are other receivers with bigger numbers. Whether he makes the Hall of Fame or not, his impact was notable. You're not going to tell the history of the sport without him. But if you want to debate, go ahead and debate. But to me, there is no debate. Julian Edelman is a legend, but not a Hall of Famer. Yes, Seton?
Would you rather be a legend or a Hall of Famer?
Well, what did I accomplish as a legend, and what did I accomplish as a Hall of Famer?
Well, you can be a Hall of Famer and never win.
Calvin Johnson.
But you can't be a legend and not win. Like, you almost have to win in big moments in order to be a legend.
We've done the Calvin Johnson, Julian Edelman.
Circa 2019,
yeah.
I think.
Who would you? Yeah, we were ahead of the curve on that one.
Well, Calvin's first ballot Hall of Famer, I don't think he won a playoff game. He has an irrelevant postseason career.
Yeah. Would I rather be a legend? It really depends on what I accomplished as a legend.
Like Julian Edelman has that catch against the Falcons where it's a half an inch off the ground that you barely see a little bit of light right there.
Yes.
That's a hell of a moment.
Yes,
he's got a few of those.
He got hit in the game against Seattle by Cam Chancellor. I thought Cam Chancellor killed him. Like he was out on his feet. And he's still stumbling for a first down yard. So it's the Super Bowl. That hit hurt me. Like you just watch it and you go, how did he stay in the game? I have no idea how he passed concussion protocol. There's no way. There's just no way. Cam Chancellor hit him as hard as you could possibly hit somebody legally. Yeah, Paul.
I'm watching the play. It's 3rd and 14. Edelman catches it and gets blown up by Chancellor. He does not go down. He goes for another 13 yards, and he actually starts stumbling and goes down on his own because he was out on his feet. He was not tackled on the play.
My God. It is violent. I mean, there's violence in the NFL. That's different. That'll get you 5 to 10 years. It's unbelievable. Yeah, see.
But then not to turn this into a bang on Calvin Johnson segment.
But you're going to.
Well, no, it's just unfair because he's obviously had a Hall of Fame career, but what's his most famous moment?
Would you rather be... Well, all you're going to have is... You have the Hall of Fame and you're going to make a lot more money. Would you rather be Calvin Johnson or Julian Edelman? And I don't think it's cut and dried. Like, I would... The last time we asked this question, I said Calvin Johnson... Now I'd probably do Julian Edelman. Because I can't, the one moment Calvin Johnson had was when they overturned a touchdown against the Bears opening week of the season. So his legacy is They overturned a touchdown.
Catch, not a catch.
Yes.
That's his legacy.
Yes. That's when it started, all of this nonsense. Edelman, man. Yes, Todd?
So another way to look at it is, would you rather be physically immortalized, or would you like to have people for years to come telling great stories about you in special moments?
What would you rather, whose career do you want, Todd?
I would probably lean towards Calvin Johnson, because you're with the all-time greats immortalized forever in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
That would mean more to me than, you know, I know you got the rings and everything and special, and you can't tell the story of the Super Bowl without Julian Edelman, but there's something about being in the Hall with the bust and the gold jacket.
I didn't want to go down this road today, just because we've already gone down this road. But we went down this road. Yes, Paulie.
But if you want to know about Calvin Johnson's career, you have to fly to Canton, Ohio and stand in line and buy a ticket. If I want to know about Julian Edelman's career, I could just watch Super Bowl highlights or watch great Super Bowl plays or greatest catches in Super Bowl history. They're going to be delivered right to me at my house. I'm not flying to Canton, Ohio to read about Calvin Johnson.
Whose career would you rather have, Julian Edelman or Andrew Luck? McLevin?
That one, Edelman.
Okay. Seton?
Jules, all day.
Paulie?
Edelman over just about anyone you're going to give me.
All right. Jerry Rice?
No.
Okay.
Hard no.
Yes, Todd.
Yeah, Edelman. I'd be unanimous with that.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
But you can not win Super Bowls. Like Barry Sanders, a lot of people would take him over Emmitt Smith because he was so spectacular and such a big star. I mean, I'm not saying it's the right choice, but he has a better argument.
But that's really high-end stuff there. Yeah, see.
Like David Tyree is a legend.
Yes.
It's like not all legends are created equal. Yeah. I'll take Calvin Johnson every single time over that one catch.
And that was David Tyree's last catch.
Yeah, did they cut him the next year?
I think so. I think he was hurt.
Mm.
But, you know, it's like, okay, David, we know you caught a ball with your helmet. How many times we got to hear this? We got to cut him. We got to cut him. Tyree will not shut up about this catch off his helmet.
Yeah. I wonder how many pictures he's taken with people holding the side of his head. Like, that's his whole thing. He's got to, the Chevy dealership in Piscataway,
you know,
New Jersey, holding his head.
They should have created a Giants helmet with a football attached to it and let David Tyree autograph it. Let's take a break. We'll close up shop. It's great to be back. I got a puppy. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm tired. Maybe we should take another week off. No, it's way too much time. It's when I take a vacation, I have to get away as far away as possible, because there's topics that come up and you think a guest and, diminishing returns sometimes. I know we need vacations, but sometimes it's hard, especially when news breaks. All right, we'll try to get a couple more phone calls in here. Paulie, what do you have?
Guess this NFL news. A NFL player has just announced his retirement.
Larry Fitzgerald.
No.
Julian Edelman.
Yeah, a week ago.
David Tyree.
Alex Smith, the quarterback.
Oh, okay.
His family announced it on the Instagrams.
Okay. That's a great career. Great comeback. I thought that he would go to Jacksonville. I thought he would go down there, help Urban Meyer with Trevor Lawrence. I thought that would make a great pairing there. All right. Well, good for him. Go out on your terms. I know he wanted to start, and he wasn't going to start anyplace. And I think that's probably why he decided. Yes, he
kind of felt like mission accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, too. Mm. It's like a sigh of relief. Like, I just don't want him to go out there and go through or get hurt again. The possibility. Franco in L.A. Hey, Franco, thanks for holding. What do you have for me today?
Hey, what's up, DP?
Hey,
it feels like I was about to slip and say Happy New Year. Dude's been baseball this weekend. It feels like a new year. Good Lord. Dodger fan, true Dodger fan. The best of the weekend was Padres, Dodgers. The worst was weekend was the strike zone. The Blue called it both ways horribly. You know, you have that imaginary box on TV.
Yeah.
And you can see them all outside. And it was just a nightmare. But happy New Year.
All right. Well, thank you, Franco. Yeah, you can't go by that box there because that's not straight behind the pitcher. So it can be a little bit of an optical illusion there. Yeah, McLovin.
The seven-inning doubleheaders is still throwing me for a loop.
Oh, man. It's not good for your sport when you want your sport to hurry up and get over with the game. Like, hey, doubleheaders are 7 innings. We're going to start the extra innings with a runner on second base. Like, you don't want to hurry up the process. I understand why you're doing it. I think it's just the optics of it. It feels like, let's get this over with. Dylan in San Diego. Hi, Dylan. What's on your mind today?
What's up, DP? You know, Franco took exactly what I was going to tell you for the best and the worst, but my best now goes with Stuart Cink winning the RBC. I think that was tremendous, you know, with the sun on the bag. And then the worst does go with the umpiring. I feel like there is no strike zone. So definitely your thoughts on that.
All right. Yeah, I never understood, thank you, Dylan, why we let an umpire have his own strike zone. Why? When you come up and you're going to be an umpire and you learn the strike zone, why do you get to have a personality with your strike zone? Yeah, see.
Isn't this the human element we're desperately trying to cling on to for the whole keep in the game, the human element?
Yeah, I'm not keen on it. You know, when you go, hey, you know, he likes to give you the high strike. Is it a strike or not?
Depends on my mood.
Kevin in Utah. Hi, Kev. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's up, Dan? Great to have you guys back. And a big jello to McLovin in the back row.
All right.
That Utah Jazz. Best and worst of the weekend. Dwayne Wade buys ownership stake in the Utah Jazz this weekend. And Donovan Mitchell spraining his ankle. Worst of the weekend.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I think the Miami Heat were a little surprised that Dwayne Wade bought into the Utah Jazz. But I think Dwayne was waiting to get an offer for buying into the Miami Heat. Yeah, McLovin.
Did you see A-Rod bought the T-Wolves and Anthony Edwards had no idea who A-Rod was?
Yeah. A-Rod. Broke up.
He said, who's that, a fan of the team?
Yeah, broke up with J-Lo.
That was awesome. He's like twirling his hair. I don't know anything about baseball.
Yeah, Paulie.
Do you think J-Lo and A-Rod broke up face-to-face or they had representatives handle it? I'm being totally serious.
Well, their kids get along.
They have children together?
No, but they're children from other husband and wife. You know, they're friends. But yeah, I don't
publicists?
Know. Publicists? Yeah, I don't know. J-Lo, A-Rod. Yes, Todd.
You think sometimes the celebrities realize once people don't care anymore that they're together, that it's not a big thing, the two of them, they're like, why are we still together? No one cares anymore. We're not getting any publicity out of this.
What We Learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond. They're built, equipped, and engineered, ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Our pleasure to serve you. Great to be back. I got a puppy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Seton, Paulie, Fritz, and McLovin, yours truly, Dan Patrick Show. While I was on vacation, though, I made sure that I took my M-Drive every single morning. That's the supplement I start my day with, and it gets you going. Look, age is undefeated. We're all facing that, but M-Drive is packed with powerful ingredients backed by science. Helps keep me energized, stronger, leaner. We have a lot of life to live, and you want to feel good in doing so. How do you feel today? How did you feel when you woke up today? Are you ready to try M-Drive? So many great products. MDriveDan.com. It's packed with powerful ingredients backed by science. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. You can find M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. You get energy. You get strength. You get drive. It works for me. It can work for you. Go to MDriveDan.com. Don't let age beat you. You feel sluggish in the morning, you want to get ready for the day, you want to attack it, M-Drive. MDriveDan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive and make sure you tell them we sent you.